B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, as promised, your phones. We started the show talking about Brady and Tampa. What are your expectations there? No real jumping off point other than maybe the fashion shoot in the uniform. And Colin Cowherd had a take where we thought that he set the bar a little low for Brady. So that's on the table. The return of the NBA. Again, I'll give you the bubble details here coming up. We hit a little bit on the Mike Gundy thing in Oklahoma and the OAN network. Kyrie Irving, all that on the table, and the Major League Baseball latest. So whatever you want. Here is Cam and Taunton on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Cam.
Oh, my God. You know, I thank my lucky stars every day that this guy is no longer here. We don't have to listen to, I called Braun, you know, what does government mean to you? F Thanksgiving, ask me July 1st. It's like, it's serious. This guy thinks he's on the same level as Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Barack Obama. I mean, for crying out loud, dude. Like, you don't, first of all, you're not playing. You're hurt. You're not playing. Why are you trying to ruin this to everybody, for God's sake? I mean, I understand the cause. We all sympathize with Black Lives Matter. Excuse me, all good people do sympathize with Black Lives Matter. But don't bring this into basketball. So you're trying to take that statement yesterday, Mike, when you read it, I had to pull over because I was laughing so much I was going to hit the person in front of me.
Oh, so bad.
I mean, this guy, how can you take a word this guy says seriously? My God.
Apparently players do, you know, like that is a scary thing that he gets elected to this.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I do think it's interesting, the players who follow him. It feels to me like it's the younger, less influential guys, probably because they're too inexperienced or too dumb to see through it.
Well, he gets a second tier, right? Like, so, you know, the guys that you hear, you know, associated with this coalition, Dwight Howard, Avery Bradley, Malcolm Brogdon, nice player, but, you know, like...
The space shot contingency.
Yeah, right. You don't hear the... First of all, other than those Lakers, which is interesting, you don't hear the real contenders, you know, the real top-of-the-league guys on the real contending teams. You know, there's no LeBron, there's no Giannis, there's no... Those guys aren't in that group. It's sort of like he's peeling off the second tier or something. But, good Lord... Danny Quincy on Tom Brady.
He's a B-list celebrity. He's B-list.
Go ahead, Danny. What do you got?
What's going on, guys? Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm calling because Tom Brady's record in the state of Florida. Since 2013, he's been 3-6, 3 wins and 6 losses. But his stats are pretty much good. 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a percentage of 64.45. So, what are your takes on that?
Okay, so we get this call all the time, and I want to dismiss it totally.
Yep, I will dismiss it entirely.
Well, so, but just to set it up again, what the caller is referring to, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if you look at Tom Brady's splits, right, home, road, indoor, outdoor versus the AFC versus the NFC, they're all amazing. They're all, like, great, except for one split. And that is something like games played over 80 degrees. There's the hot weather games. He does not have a good track record. And as the caller just said, 3-6 in Florida. That doesn't even feel like he would have played more games than that. But either way, be that as it may.
Yeah, 3-5 in warm air Florida games since 2013.
Okay, so there's a stat. Like, that's the only split you can find where Tom Brady doesn't succeed. His dome numbers are through the roof. His cold weather numbers are as good as anyone who's ever played. AFC, NFC, doesn't matter. They're all the same. Warm weather games, he has a bad split. Is that impactful for him in Tampa Bay, Mass?
I mean, I say no. Now, look, you tell me at age 43, could he have some difficulty late in the year? Maybe. I mean, again, I sort of, but different team, different opponents, different motivation. Like, the other variables to me are way, way bigger. And there were some of those games down there that weren't meaningful, that maybe, you know, there was that one year they played Miami late in the season. They lost the game down.
Throwaway game on Monday night.
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, not relevant, not relevant. Now, if it happens again and he goes down there and he can't play in the heat, great. Okay, fine. Then we have something. But I honestly, I dismiss it. I think it's useless.
And I think a lot of his problems were a Sam Madison, Pat Sertan, Jason Taylor problem. You know, early on in the run, that was a hard place to play. That was a good defense down there. And the Pats as a team and organization sucks there. It's like, well, yeah, what's his record at Denver? Is that a Brady thing, or is that a a Denver thing. It's a hard place to play, and the Pats just never have success there. So I don't think it's a factor, caller. I don't. David in New Bedford on the return of Major League Baseball. What do you got, Dave?
Yes, I saw this morning Dr. Fauci made some comments to the L.A. Times that he doesn't expect baseball to play into October, including the World Series. And I wondered what your thoughts on that is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, David, thank you. He said, I wouldn't do it. He didn't say they're not going to. He said, I wouldn't. I mean, I trust him. I know that's probably what the infectious disease guys are saying. And I think Major League Baseball, though, is just giving it lip service. In other words, Major League Baseball says we don't want to play in November because there's a second wave and the experts are telling us not to. And I think that's bull crap. In other words, the experts are saying that, but that's not why they don't want to go into November. They don't want to go into November because their national broadcast partners don't want to go into November. The election's a big part of it, but Fox and the broadcast partners that own the postseason don't want to go into November, and that's why they don't want to go into November. The second wave, unfortunately, I don't think factors into their thinking, Miz.
Okay, but Mike, at least the owners are consistent. Baseball has played its playoffs in October forever. So I feel like the owners, the players, on the other hand, say that they're the ones taking the safety risk. They're the ones going on the field. Like, you know, they have to be paid, and yet they offered a proposal that not only took the postseason into November,
but
into part of December.
Great point.
And this was before Fauci's comments. So on the one hand, they want to tell us it's risky to play. On the other hand, their 114-game proposal included games in November and December. Okay, guys, which one is it?
Great point.
Which one is it? So you got to pick one or the other. Either it's risky to play, or, you know, and you can't play in November and December, or you're just as full of crap as everybody else.
Good point. William in Dorchester on Gundy. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, so just circling back on the Gundy comments, I think you guys are way off on that. And I think context is everything. Go back and take a look at Gundy's comments around COVID-19. And he essentially compared the virus to the flu, and oh, it's a hoax and it's being drummed up by fake news, all talking points that I'm sure are on OAN.
Okay.
And he actually went a step further.
William.
Yep.
So he's a right winger. So we should fire all right wing head coaches?
No, but, you know, look, if he has the right to say that, to wear that shirt, fine. Should he have the right not to be fired? Fine. Then the players should have the right to protest too. And that's what they're doing.
So
it's not just an isolated event when you put it in the context with the other things that happened. I think it's interesting that none of his players of color are coming to his defense either.
Okay, so I think it's fair to, if you're going to say I'm all about OAN and I believe what they're talking about, for then you to engage the conversation and tell him that he's full of crap and that network's wrong on this and wrong on that, and they have a lot of bad ideas and dangerous ideas. That's fine. That's engaging the conversation. We played your Paul Feinbaum cut that said he should be fired. That's different.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I represent. This is what I believe, and I'm putting it out there. Now I get to say, well, what you believe is wrong, dude, and here's why. That's great. No problem there. There are people
back.
Who are saying he should be fired.
Yeah, it's people like Paul Feinbaum. It's like, dude, come on. His running back there, Chuba Hubbard, who is one of the best in the country, like him speaking out about it, and then you got to talk to your players and make things right. Like, yeah, okay, like that. There should be that kind of discourse.
Is it Chuba Hubbard? I mean, what a great name. What is it?
Chuba, I think is how it's pronounced. Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba. Did he say he should be fired?
No, he basically said he won't play until this is addressed or something along those lines. And he was going to like boycott playing until, you know, there was going to be a conversation. They had the conversation. It seemed like things have been worked out, to my knowledge. But it's when you have other talking heads or anyone else saying like, oh, he's got to go, or, you know, the Twitter mob. Oh, he's got to go. He's got to go. He's got to go. Like, I don't know. And for the thing with him, the way he was talking about COVID-19, he's a dumb football coach. Like, he's not an epidemiologist, so, like, why am I going to get my back up about him saying, like, oh, it's the flu? Like, okay.
Well,
like,
but, I mean, let's just say he's on the far right. Let's just say that's what he is. Those guys aren't allowed to coach? Like, that's kind of dangerous. So now we're choosing the coaches based on their political beliefs. And his might be more extreme than others, but, again, where do you draw the line on that? So, like, I just hate that precedent. And you should, too. And, you know, and you should all hate that precedent. Now, I could see, again, a player who's been recruited by him or has to trust him as a coach finds out what he really believes in. And if you have to work with him every day and, again, trust him as your coach and your mentor, then you're allowed to look at him and go, well,
Mike, how do you really feel about this? And, well, that's for him. Like, that's fair. I have no problem with that.
That's how this whole thing came to light, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so one of his players said this is not cool. And so good for that player for speaking up and calling the coach on it and saying, okay, you know, do you understand what you're aligning yourself with or what the perception is? And now the coach's statement was bullcrap. I think the coach knew exactly what he was doing, but he, now he's covering his own ass. But good for the player for calling him out on it.
Yeah, I don't have a major.
Now, Mike, if this guy's a history, that's a different thing. Okay, that's a different thing. But in and of itself, based on the photo, that's scary. That's scary.
You fire a guy over wearing a T-shirt of a cable news network. So again, I don't have a problem with the player. I haven't said anything about the player. It's those who say he should be gone. You know, that's just, boy, that's a precedent you shouldn't want, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. Brian in the car on the return of the NBA. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, on Silver, I think he ties in a little bit to the kind of both conversations you're talking about with the NBA players and Gundy. I think he's rightfully earned the praise that he's gotten for making the NBA progressive league and giving the players a voice. I think the one area where he lost a little bit of credibility for me in terms of being able to take him being a balanced, level-headed commissioner was about 18 months ago when the players came out collectively and said that they wanted to change the term owner for an NBA team. And he had a position, I think, at that time to kind of continue his leadership role and basically just say, all right, this is kind of pushing it a little far. There's obviously no racial connotation here between calling the person who bought a team the owner and the players that are playing for the team. And when he didn't do that and he immediately caved to the players and basically said, all right, we won't call them that anymore. We're going to call them NBA governors. I think it just set the precedent for, modern athletes and just people across society to just feel like, nobody's going to question us as long as we raise our voice.
I don't know how I feel about that. I think it's shrewd. I think it's smart by him.
So I was just going to say, what do they really give up there
exactly
to accommodate their players? What do they really give up?
Politics.
Right? That's your players coming to, and I'm sorry, Mike, but that's your players coming to and saying, hey, listen, this bothers us. And you say, well, I don't think we feel that strongly about it. And so if that's what you guys would prefer, we're happy to make it work because we value your part in this league. Wrong with that?
The only one that bothers is the political guy. They're always called owners. They're owners. This is America. Like that guy. Otherwise,
who cares?
If you're a billionaire, if I were a billionaire and was lucky enough to own a team, call me Tiddlywinks. You call me whatever. Call me douchebag. You call me, give me whatever title you want. You're a billionaire that owns a sports team. I'm fine. You can title me however you care to title me. And so, but Silver, this all just goes back to Kyrie doing Silver like that with that statement yesterday when this guy's bent over backwards to understand his players and support his players and be on their side on these issues. That's the guy you're going to go after, Kyrie?
That's what I just wanted him to be asked by a player, reporter, someone. Is it really that bad, man? Is it really that bad playing?
Kyrie flaps his gums an awful lot. Okay, he flaps his gums an awful lot. And so, I saw where apparently Boomer Esiason said this, so I don't want to steal the take, and that's the only reason I mentioned it, but he's right. If Kyrie is that committed to it, then he should give up basketball, which is clearly not that important to him, and commit to the cause. Like, that's what I would say. Again, my feeling all along has been you could do both. But if it really means that much to Kyrie, and if it does, I commend him for it. Give up basketball and commit to the cause, because the cause is worthy. And you have to give up your salary too now, but go ahead, because I think he's full of crap.
Okay, let's get to some of these bubble details, the return of the NBA. They will make your brain explode. And we'll do it right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
All right, the NBA bubble details are in, and they are prodigious, man. It took me a couple hours to pare this down to, I don't know, 8 printed pages of details. And I'll give you as much as I can without giving you a popsicle headache, but I'm telling you, it is a constant stream from now until mid-October of isolating and testing. I mean, really, just to sum it up, testing and isolating from now until mid-October for these guys. And I still think they should do it. I think they should want to do it. I think if these guys are real competitors and there's an NBA title on the line, it's not a, you know, it's a fair sacrifice to make for them. They're still being paid, never mind on top of it all. But if I'm an NBA player and I read this, I can see them going, whoa, this is a lot. So I'll just start with phase 3, all right, because that starts July 1. So up until July 1, there's still these small group workouts at the team facilities with testing and all the, you know, precautions put in place. Then July 1, they step it up a little bit. Starting July 1 to July 11th, individual workouts become mandatory for all players. So you have to start to report on July 1 and start working out. No more than 8 players, but head coaches are now allowed to participate. Then from July 7th to July 11th, at the tail end of that window, teams will then start matriculating to the NBA campus at Walt Disney World, and they're going to stagger it. They're going to stagger their arrival, but teams will take either a chartered flight or bus to Orlando on a staggered basis starting July 7th. Upon arrival, players and staff must isolate in their rooms until they return 2 negative PCR tests at least 24 hours apart. Okay, so let me just stop there. And they make sure to point out that the nasal swab test that they're administering is not the long nasal swab that hits the back of your skull. It's a smaller one, okay? There is a long nasal test coming your way if you do something that I'll tell you about later. But that's the full intrusion. This is when you arrive, you have to return 2 negative PCR tests at least 24 hours apart. So what that basically means is, you arrive in Orlando, and you have to stay in your room for the next day and a half, however long it takes for them to administer these tests and get the results back to you. So that's like, you know, right off the chute, you can't leave your room. Then players will have the option to wear a proximity alarm that will notify a player if he spends more than 5 seconds within 6 feet of another person.
who is also wearing a
This sounds amazing. Like, just like anyone who gets anywhere near me to try and small talk me, beep, 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 beep. A big warning, big small talk warning. Like, that's amazing. So the players have the option to wear the proximity alarm, but all team and league staff must wear it. Okay? It's optional for players, but all league staff, and potentially excluding referees, I guess they haven't decided on the refs yet, but also, like, I guess coaches and front office guys and league support staff are all going to be wearing these alarms. That where if they get within 6 feet of each other, beep, 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 and they all have to back up. Think of that.
I'll tell you what, it's comical, but I kind of like it.
Okay, everyone on the NBA campus will be required to wear a face mask at all times, except when eating, or in their individual rooms, or during a workout, or while engaged in a physical activity outdoors that is not within 6 feet of another person. Okay? So the 6 feet thing is going to apply in that campus the whole way through. 6 feet, everybody. Players will also have the option, Maz. I'm surprised you haven't gotten one of these. Will also have the option of wearing an Aura smart ring. O-U-R-A.
I had to look this up today, but I'm intrigued.
Okay, is that how I pronounce it? Aura? O-U-R-A? Aura?
I think it's Aura.
Aurora?
I don't know what this is.
Aurora. Say it again?
I think it's Aura only because the logo has a long a vowel sound over the O. So I'm guessing it's Aura.
It's a Aura smart ring that may help with the early detection of the coronavirus. It will track temperature, respiratory, and heart rate. Okay, so they can also wear that ring. Then, effective July 7th, random PED testing will resume. No testing will be done for recreational substances, but players remain subject to discipline for possession or use of prohibited recreational substances. And then they make sure to put in this memo, note, recreational use of marijuana is not legal in the state of Florida. So what they're saying is, it's still illegal, you can't do it, but we won't test you for it. So don't get caught holding.
Right, exactly. You get in trouble with the authorities. That one's on you.
Okay. Then phase 4B. This starts July 19 to 21. Okay. Teams may engage in large group workouts. So now they're at the campus. Now they've returned the two negative PCB tests, and now you can go and basically start training camp, okay? Group workouts, practices, weight training, meetings, and other team activities. COVID-19 testing will continue with regular PCR testing, daily temperature checks, symptom surveys, and pulse oximetry? Maz, oximetry screening?
No idea.
Finger clip device to measure oxygen levels, okay? That's what that is. At all times on the court, players must avoid spitting or clearing their nose. I like the way they said that, clearing their nose.
Oh, okay, yeah, snot rockets.
Blowing snot.
Nah, no farmer blow, right?
No snot rockets.
Okay, clearing their nose. No, so that you must avoid spitting or clearing your nose, wiping the ball with your jersey, licking your hands, or unnecessarily touching your mouth guard. Okay, those are all prohibited all the way through this entire thing. There is a self-isolation period leading to July 21. So, again, you're arriving, when did I say? July 7th to 11th.
7th, right.
Okay, so at around July 21 is when the self-isolation phase ends. So for 2 weeks, you can leave your room, but 6 feet of distance, self-isolation, no gathering with other players. That's 2 weeks. After that, on July 21, players may eat meals and participate in social activities only with individuals residing within their hotel, provided they maintain physical distancing. So when they say social activities, they then put in parentheses, ping pong, video games, card games, golf. Okay? So you can, after 14 days, keep it to yourself. You can gather with other folks and do these things, but you got to keep your 6 feet of distance. And, well, I mean, you know, all those things, you can do that. Until July 21, players are requested to have only brief interactions with players residing in other hotels that are encountered in the common areas of the NBA campus. So the teams are split in three hotels, which I'll get to in a minute. But for the first 2 weeks, you can't hang out with anyone who's not in your hotel. You can't even, you know, I mean, never mind the 6 feet thing, just stay away. There's no cavorting with anyone who's in another hotel. Any meal with a player on another team must be held outside. Players are not permitted to enter each other's hotel rooms. Okay. Disney chefs will prepare daily meals, and there will also be room service as an option. Subject to a few exceptions, food deliveries from outside of the NBA campus are not permitted. So Spicoli cannot call the pizza man to bring the pizza into Mr. Hand's class.
You got to eat that crap food at Disney. Oh, it's so bad.
However,
not necessarily. Go ahead.
However, at his own expense, a player is permitted to hire a personal chef located outside the NBA campus to prepare and send food into the NBA campus on a daily basis. So they don't want you calling the pizza man randomly, but if you have your own guy set up that's been approved and da-da-da, you can do that. I mean, listen to this so far. I mean, just think of that so far. I mean, and we haven't gotten to the season.
So look, I mean, it's extensive. There's no two ways about it. It's extensive. But and clearly, I mean, I think a little too extensive. For example, you know, I get the whole two-week thing at the beginning that you're talking about in terms of only in your hotel, you know, can you sit and have a meal with someone, et cetera. I get all that because the two-week period is obviously the incubation period as it pertains to the virus. I get that. But here's what I don't get. Once you clear that 2 weeks, isn't everybody clean?
Yeah, that's why. And if you're all staying in the bubble, I mean, I agree.
Right. So it's
kind of silly that they're going to allow you to practice amongst yourselves. I mean, just start there, bumping and grinding and sweating and spitting on each other, you know, posting guys up underneath the basket and then the exhibition games and all of that. But when you play cards, be sure you're 6 feet apart from each other. Well, you've just been sweating and spitting all over each other underneath the basket for 2 hours. Like what? Like
exactly. So there were lots of inconsistencies in there.
Well, you know, or just
in or some anyway.
In abundance of caution. And I'm not even halfway through this thing. I'll give you some more details after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We work through all of those issues in terms of health and safety, what the environment will be like on the campus, but I can only say it may not be for everyone. I mean, it will entail enormous sacrifice on behalf of those players and for everyone involved, the coaches, the referees. Listen, it's not an ideal situation. We're trying to find a way to our own normal in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of essentially a recession or worse with 40 million unemployed, and now with enormous social unrest in the country. And so as we work through these issues, I can understand how some players may feel that it's not for them.
And after reading this, I can kind of understand it, too. Kind of. You got a chance to win an NBA championship. I would hate to think that, as onerous as this sounds, that you still wouldn't put up with it for that chance, for that right. Picking up. So, once they arrive in Orlando, they spend the first 24, 36 hours in their hotel room before they get two negative tests back. Then they spend 2 weeks basically isolating themselves from everybody. You can be with your teammates, but 6 feet apart, and you can slowly start to hang out with other teams only in your hotel. Now you get to phase five, okay, starting July 22nd. Teams will play three scrimmage games against each other, against teams, again, residing in their same hotel. So not only here for the first month of the thing are they creating a bubble, they're sort of creating three separate bubbles within the bubble. And they don't want they don't want the hotels crossing paths, or they just want three. There's three separate bubbles within the bubble for the first month.
Yeah, they don't want cross contamination.
From July 22nd till the end of the season, players are permitted to socialize with players and team staff from hotels other than the one they are in. Again, starting after July 22nd, as before, players are not permitted to enter each other's hotel rooms. Phase six, the season, okay? That's July 30th to October 13th. That includes the play-in games, the seeding games. Upon the completion of each team's season, the team will immediately depart campus, but first must have returned a negative PCR result within 24 hours of the scheduled departure. So they don't even let you leave until you test negative, all right? So they're not going to unleash you onto the regular population until they know you're clean. Player guests. Each team that advances past the first round of the playoffs will be permitted to reserve up to 17 guest rooms for guests of players on the NBA campus. Players are responsible for the cost of each hotel room, so they don't specify how many people you can bring on, just that you get one room. So however many you can jam into that one room, that's what you can bring, apparently. All right, so get out the cots and the pullaways and all of that. Players are responsible for the cost of each hotel room. The cost of meals and testing for player guests will not be charged to the players. All player guests must undergo 3 days of self-quarantine and testing, either in a house or hotel in the team's home market or in Orlando outside of the NBA campus. So again, if you get past the first round, they'll give you an extra room at your cost. You can bring in people to stay in that room, but they have to go through all the testing, all the quarantining, all the isolation. So this is just 3.5 months of quarantining and isolation and testing. Then you get to this. If you leave campus, okay, leaving campus.
Once, okay, this is good.
Once the teams arrive in Orlando, any player who leaves the NBA campus without prior approval will be required upon reentry to enhance testing, which includes the deep nasal swab. So this is when you get the whoop, like the full cavity search. So up until this point, it was just a small nasal swab. If you leave the campus, you come back and you get the...
You get the punishment swab.
You get the full Megillah, right? Bend over. You have to undergo 10 to 14 days of self-quarantining. you will have a reduction in your compensation for any game in which you are unable to play. All right, so what's your thought there, Maz?
I like it. I do. I like that. If you leave the campus and you get sick, you forfeit your salary. I mean, to me, that is, again, now look, I know this is extreme, but under the circumstances, if you want to play in these playoffs, this is what you're looking at. And so I like it. I to me, again, there's got to be a penalty. Yeah, you want to leave? Fine, go ahead and leave, but it's going to cost you. Okay. I like it.
Yeah, the onus is on them, and they need to practice personal responsibility. But then some guys, maybe they don't, and maybe they don't get caught. But ultimately, it should be up to them, and there should be repercussions if they end up getting sick.
Leaving the campus, so there are some exceptions that you can come back with a different set of protocols, some extenuating circumstances. Those include the need to receive team-directed medical care off campus, the birth of a child, fine, a documented severe illness or death in the family, all kosher, I'm all into that. And then here's the last one, or a previously scheduled family wedding. No. You don't get to include the wedding. No. I'm sorry. Nope, you don't. Call me a bad person. No, I don't put the wedding on that. If it's that important to you that I'm there, then let's just, put off the wedding for a couple weeks, for crying out loud. You can narc on your fellow player. The league will establish an anonymous hotline for campus participants to report any potential or actual violations. The discipline for a player violating the rules on campus will range from a fine to a suspension or to removal from campus. So, how do you feel about the narc line there, Murray?
I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm uncomfortable with snitching for innocuous reasons. And look, if you saw something truly terrible going on, an assault, for example, you intervene or you call a cop. But now, during COVID, mind your damn business. Someone not wearing a mask, mind your business. One of these players leave to go tune up an Instagram floozy, mind your goddamn business. And nobody likes a rat, and it's especially in that league. Look what happened to D'Angelo Russell a few years ago with Nick Young. He's recording Young on his phone while he's talking about road beef. It goes viral, and Russell ends up getting crucified for it, and rightfully so. I'm a big believer in, if you see something like that, a guy is going out to just, meet some floozy, I'm not going to say anything. That's just not me. I can understand why others would feel differently. Maz.
So, look, again, I like it. I like it. Now I will admit, this opens up the door for all kinds of stupid stuff, right? So, Mike, again, that just to reaffirm, that particular part says even on campus.
So now you're making me go back.
Meaning if a guy violates a rule on campus, you can call it rat him
yes,
out.
Yes. Okay, the league will establish an anonymous hotline for campus participants to report any potential or actual violations.
Okay. So again, this opens up the door for stupid stuff. And I admit I don't like that part either. Like if someone is 5 3/4 feet away and they're not wearing a mask, is someone going to flip out over it? I would hope not. Okay, but people do and they are who they are.
Or someone ordered Papa John's because they're tired of the Disney food and they didn't pay for a personal chef, so they got one. And the next thing you know, someone's calling me like, someone got takeout pizza.
Okay, what if they dial in 4 ladies of the evening and there's an orgy and they're all sort of, rubbing all their secretions all over each other? And, you don't think a player who wants to stay safe and healthy is allowed to say, listen,
no. I'm not going to damn a guy for doing.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so this is where I think it's a good thing, because look, in this type of environment, and this is where the rules change, you're not just affecting the livelihood potentially of yourself. You are affecting the livelihood and health of a lot of other people. And so you need to be accountable to everybody. That's the reality of it. If you want to accomplish something like this, it's going to require you being accountable to other human beings. If you don't want that, don't go.
Okay.
That's sort of my assessment of it. I don't like the stupid whistleblowers either. If you're going to blow the whistle, blow it on something legit. But overall, I like the accountability to one another.
Finally, here's the hotel distribution, which I find fascinating. We talked about before, how can you give these guys any sort of home court advantage? And the only thing I thought that had potentially some merit was letting the higher seeds pick their hotels, because not all hotels are created equal. And so that hasn't happened, but they have divvied up the hotel space based on seating and by quality of hotel. There is a gradation by the quality of hotels. Staying in the Grand Destino, which I am not familiar with.
I've never heard of this.
So it's a Disney hotel, but it's kind of off the, it's not in the monorail, circuit, if you will. So it's a little outside of that, but it's a Disney property and I guess still on campus. So the Grand Destino, and it's new. You have the iron of the league. Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers, Celtics, Nuggets, Jazz, Heat. Then you have the Grand Floridian. Thunder, Sixers, Rockets, Pacers, Mavericks, Nets, Grizzlies, Magic. And then at the Yacht Club is like the Caddy Pool Hour.
Otherwise known as Ozarks.
One to 115. Staying at the Bujate would be the Blazers, Kings, Pelicans, Spurs, Suns, and Wizards.
Yep.
The basically the cannon fodder for all the guys that are going to be bouncing the little play-in round or the seeding games or first, they're gone.
That group's not going to make it.
No. So I do find it interesting how, you know, they're going to clear out one hotel at a time. Basically, if things go to Hoyle, the Yacht Club, they blow those guys out of there early. Then the next one to clear out would be the Grand Floridian, and then the Grand Destino is the last team standing. You've stayed at these hotels, Murray? You've stayed at the Grand Floridian?
I've stayed at the Floridian, yeah. It's all right. I'm looking at some photos of the Destino. This place is nice.
So the Grand Floridian is, to me, just...
It's eh.
Okay. Like, I don't mean to be snobby.
No, me either. But it's if that's the best that they'd offer, and that's 20 years ago when I was there, I was like, really?
Ugh. No, the players are going to get there and go... What? Because I'm sorry, it is the prices are like a Four Seasons or
right.
A Mandarin, like a really high end hotel because of where it is. It's the last stop before the Magic Kingdom, but it's really not that. It's fine. It's not what these guys are used to.
The draw is like the Princess Breakfast that they do there. That's the big thing.
Murray, you should thank your lucky stars you don't have kids and you never had to do a character breakfast.
Oh, I had to be part of one, Mike.
Oh,
I know what it's all about.
Oh, God. I did it there. I did it. I think I've done each of my daughters, I had to go once. And so, yeah, I think I did one at the Grand Floridian, for crying out loud.
I still like it, though.
Wretched. So, hold on. So, the Grand Floridian, and it's interesting, this newspaper down in Orlando, it ranked the hotels, and they actually have the Grand Floridian ahead of the Grand Destino.
Huh.
So, they say the Floridian's better than the Destino, but either way, I think the players, and if that's the case, I think you're going to have all teams going there, getting into their hotels saying, what's up with this? Where's the Ritz? Where's the Four Seasons? Where's the Peninsula? We're not used to staying in this crap. So I don't think anyone's going to like their hotel room.
Yeah, they're in for a rude awakening based on what they're used to.
But, Maz, why do you like it?
Because I like the way they divvy them up. Because when groups B and C, and that's how I term them, venture off campus and infect their hotels, we still have a chance of getting a champion because the teams in Group A are more likely to behave. So to me, I think they did this the right way. You put the real iron of the league, as you said, the contenders, you put them all in one hotel because they all have the same stakes. And if everyone else gets down there and starts screwing off, fine. At least we still get the final eight and we can have a champion and we can have a season. I like that idea.
Okay. I just found the details there stunning. I mean, just really comprehensive and onerous. That's a lot to swallow if you're a player or an NBA official headed down to Orlando. So we'll take your thoughts on all of it. You've been waiting patiently. Right back to you in a long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Zilger and Mavs, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mere cup, but you are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
It isn't spelled out how many positive tests it would take for the NBA to consider shutting this down. It's left open-ended, other than that the NBA acknowledges they are expecting multiple positive tests. The other thing is, one of the big factors for the people going into the bubble is, can somebody be kept out? Can somebody be barred because of pre-existing conditions or medical risks? And the answer is yes. The NBA has a medical panel that has the ability to bar coaches if they don't believe that they can go there. And this potentially opens them up to a lawsuit. And the hope is that this will not come to this. But the NBA will have the right to say that you can't come in. And, you know, the other major factor, obviously, is the life inside there. The players are going to be in three different hotels, but for the first 2 weeks down there, they're not going to be able to associate with anybody outside their hotel. So if your good friend is on another team, you're going to have to stay with FaceTime. In addition to when you arrive in Orlando, up to 48 hours in your room. You may not leave while you quarantine.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's going to be enough to keep them entertained, too, because, you know, the hotels have amenities, players-only lounge, NBA 2K, TVs, gamings. They have pools, they have hiking trails, barbers, manicurists, pedicurists. There's a 24-hour VIP concierge service. I'm just curious, though, if you can't leave the campus, what the concierge is going to do for you.
Right.
You know, you eat at the hotel, or, you know, what? I mean, like, he can't score you a table across town at the exclusive restaurant. You can't go.
Right.
Perfect opportunity to make sure that the concierge is a hooker.
Daily entertainment will be provided. Movie screenings. DJ sets. So you get a little DJ action. Video games. Ping pong, as I mentioned before. Ping pong. That should really keep those guys humming. They get to play ping pong for 3.5 months.
My kids would love this trip.
Pool, lawn games, golf. Players ultimately will be able to attend other games. So that's your big night out. You get to go watch the Grizzlies and Blazers battle it out. So there you go. Your thoughts on this and everything else from the day. Daniel in Weymouth. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, guys. I was just thinking, you're talking about snitches and stuff. Another big reason is if the gamblers, you know, you see somebody outside the bubble, if it's a player on an opposing team, you know, you might take a picture of them and that gets them delayed getting back in. Or some people would even just make it up just to give them difficulty in getting back in and see how much it harasses them.
Okay, so are you implying you're implicating someone so they get banned from the bubble and they can't play and gamble? I mean, I don't know. I think that's the least of their worries.
I think he's reading into it a little too much.
Exactly. Cam in Cambridge on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, so my whole thing with Kyrie Irving is, where was he during all the protests? You see Jaylen Brown out there. You see Dame Lillard, Enes Kanter's wearing his jersey at a protest for some reason. Where's Kyrie Irving? And now he wants to act like he's the mature one here? I don't get it.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, the more immediate one is, he's in the Players Association and is an executive in the Players Association. So he had access. I don't know if he actually showed up or took the calls or was involved, but had access to sit at the table with Chris Paul and Michelle Roberts and help craft the agreement and the bubble scenario in Orlando every step of the way. Instead, he lets it all play out. He lets it sit for a week or two and then decides, no, I'm going to blow the whole thing up.
Yeah, can't be bothered. Probably was asked to be part of those, if I had to guess. And then he reads it and sees it. It's like, nope, no, I don't like it, man. They're trying to keep us down. Oh, he's just the absolute worst. And I question the mentality of some of those players who helped vote him into that position. What was it? What does he do that speaks to you? If it's just his play on the court, fine. Yeah, great handle. He's wowed me before. But I'm not going to vote for him to be a leader. He is not a leader. That is no leader of men. The message, it's an important message, but the message falls on deaf ears if it's coming from a complete a-hole like Kyrie Irving.
See, but I think it says a lot that which level of player are we talking about? Because a lot of these guys don't know any better, so they fall for Kyrie's bullcrap. I mean, to me, what Kyrie saw is an opportunity for other guys to line up behind him and go, ooh, yeah, right, man. You know, like Kyrie thought, well, there, you know, here's my chance to dupe some people into thinking I'm a leader, whereas the real leaders looked at him and say, this guy's an ass clown, and they ignored him.
Okay, we've got Kyrie on the table, the NBA bubble on the table. Is Major League Baseball getting closer to a return? Are they closing in on a deal? That's been the reporting today coming out of baseball. So we have that on the table. We started the day talking about the expectations of Brady in Tampa. We can weigh in on that. We even hit on Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State if you want. Right back to your calls, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.